went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. Please call my cell phone. Please don't text my cell phone because it doesn't receive texts. But the cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. That's the best way to get a hold of me. If you want a more delayed response from me, typically at the end of the day or at the very beginning of the day, not typically during the day because I'm busy working, send me an email. My email address is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K, docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. Being healthy is important. It requires a healthy digestive system, a healthy immune system, a healthy hormonal system. It requires quality ingredients going into the body and being able to process those ingredients in a timely and efficient manner and excreting things in a timely and efficient manner as well, and making sure that everything is working the way that it's supposed to, because you're getting the right ingredients to make the body continue to maintain itself at a high level of efficiency for a very, very long time. The challenge that we have in this country is most people aren't exercising that right to experience that kind of level of function, what we call being healthy. We're masking symptoms with toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects. We have all sorts of diseases that are seem to be growing in number every single day. The treatments are less than effective because they manage symptoms. They don't actually fix any problem. We are no closer to solving heart disease than we were 50 years ago. We are no closer to solving cancer than we were 50 years ago. We are no closer to solving autoimmune disease than we were 50 years ago. We don't have a solution to high blood pressure. We don't have a solution to diabetes. We have medical treatments. We have treatments, we have masking agents, we have lifetime medications for these conditions, and anybody that thinks that we have a solution for these diseases, if we did, they wouldn't exist anymore. But that's not going to keep the American health system in place. That's going to keep the not going to keep the pharmaceutical businesses functioning and making lots and lots and lots of money. So we have to appreciate that if you want to be healthy, it's up to you. You, the individual. And so we do this show called When Your Health Matters. We do it every week. We've been doing it for the better part of the last 15 years. We've been on the West Coast. We've been on the East Coast. We've been in the Northeast. We're now in the Southeast as well. And wherever we have to go to get people's attention, that's what my passion and purpose is. And the man that helps me do that every week, his name is Mark Sabin. He's a wonderful individual. He's an interfaith minister. He's a loving father. He's a marketer extraordinaire, and more importantly, he's an incredible human being that I have the pleasure to call my friend, and it's always a pleasure to see you, Mark, and just to see the integrity that you have with everything that you put into developing the material for these shows and your commitment to our listeners and your commitment to being here each week that you are here than when we do these shows. So I appreciate
you. Thank you so much, Doc Rick. You know, when you talk about, you know, the immune system, you talk about all these diseases and we have these different ways of treating the diseases. The thing is that we just have the assumption that the disease is the end of what we're dealing with. And really, in point of fact, what we talk about here is if you can't fix the disease, you have to go back to before the disease began and fix health.
Right. Fix the reason for why one would get a disease.
So you're not fixing high blood pressure. You're getting somebody to go back to where their blood pressure was normal.
Right. We're getting the body to manage the, quote, blood pressure on its own in a normal range as opposed to it going out of balance and becoming an elevated or a high range.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to address the reason for why the blood pressure would go up or why the cholesterol would go up or why your blood sugar would go up or why there would be inflammation or why there would be heart disease or why there would be cancer. Addressing the why, when you address the why, the what goes away.
Well, it's almost like you're moving backward in time to precede where the disease even began.
Correct.
You're undoing it. You're unwrapping it.
That's exactly right. We're not treating the effect of it. We're mm-hmm. getting to the source or the cause of it. And when you affect change at the cause, then you get a different outcome. You know, it's a phrase that I've used for a number of years in my life, and I hear it periodically coming out of other people's mouths, which is wonderful, is that, okay, if you're not happy with what you're experiencing, then you better be prepared to do things differently. You have to change what you're doing if you want to get a different result. However you want to roll that phrase out, okay, if you're not happy with where you are, then you better be prepared to start doing things differently in an effort to get a different result and put you in a different space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this all goes down to the law of cause and effect, that if there is that the effect comes out of some cause.
Correct.
Something had to cause that effect.
Yeah.
It didn't just happen spontaneously by itself.
Exactly. And if you understand what started the process of creating the effect and you go back and you address the cause,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You ask a little child why they're doing something, and they give you a complete, full, two-word answer. Be cause. They're being the cause. They're being the creator. It's the power that we've all been given by our creator. You know, Jesus gave us permission. Ye too can do all this and more. It's about being the cause and being the creator. And so what's interesting is you hang out with any 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old, what's their favorite question?
Why?
Yeah. They want to understand the mechanism of cause. They want to literally be cause of their environment. Mm-hmm. And when you are able to be cause over your environment, then you're controlling your environment as opposed to being the effect of your environment, where now your environment's controlling you. And that's the difference between being healthy versus being diseased. That's the difference between having understanding versus having no understanding. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of this show is to give people the understanding that they need so that they can get back in the driver's seat of their own life, of their own health, and they can go back to being cause of their life and condition.
I mean, this really goes to the heart of what it means to have free will.
Yes.
Because if you have free will, you can determine what course you want to take.
Right. And having all the resources available to you in order to make the right choice so that you can create whatever it is that you want, we all have the ability to do that. It's just sometimes we believe it, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you counsel somebody and you light a fire under them and you impassion them on a particular direction that they're really, really, really passionate for,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go move mountains.
Right.
And they
right.
end up doing that.
And they end up doing that. And it is that motivation and it is that ability to, in point of fact, have the information so that you know how to make the choices so you can determine how to use your free will to achieve the goals that you're looking to do.
Right.
So today I wanted to talk to you about building your immune system. To begin with, what exactly is the immune system?
Well, it's one of my favorite subjects. It's the second most important system you can have functioning as a healthy individual, and you want to make that as healthful as possible. Because people who have poor immune system function, they get sick all the time, and it's not supposed to happen like that. And so I'm excited for the conversation that we're going to have today. So your immune system is the primary defense system of the body that helps us fight off offending pathogens, things like viruses, bacteria, yeast, parasites, and other critters that impact the normal functioning of the body. It's found within the blood system and communicates through the nervous system and others, like the microbiome, the digestive system, the integumentary system, and others. And so it's a system that's throughout your whole body, and it actually is you know, like foot patrol military or police force or a neighborhood watch or whatever, depending upon what level and what where you want to look at it. But it's a defense mechanism that makes sure that problems, that if they find themselves in a neighborhood that they shouldn't be in, that the neighborhood handles the problem and makes it so that it doesn't interfere with the life and functioning of that neighborhood.
But it's not like your nervous system, your skeletal system, or the muscular system, which are discrete physiological things. The immune system is a little different than that, isn't it?
Yeah, the immune system, you actually have two different types of immune system. You have your innate immune system, which you inherited from your mom based upon being part of her body as you're gestating, and then once you're born, and that system is cut off because they cut the umbilical cord and now you're a separate, distinct individual, mm-hmm. free to work amongst yourself, okay? Then you start to get exposed to things from the outside world and your body develops what's called an acquired immune system, and that's based upon previous exposure to something. You know, if you've never been exposed to a bacterium, the first time you're exposed to that, your body should have a healthy immune response and you should get a fever and you should have an immune cascade that goes on that helps to fight off the sickness, and then you create a cell that kind of tags that particular bacterium and will circulate around the body for the rest of your life so that the next time you're exposed to that bacterium, it knows exactly what it's dealing with and it can have a memory of that particular pathogen, and it knows exactly what kind of response it needs in order to overcome it. So you got those two different aspects of your immunity, your innate immunity, which you get from your mom, and then the acquired immunity that we all develop. So it's like, you know, when we were little kids, you know, to develop good immunity, you want to let the kids play in the dirt. And when I was growing up as a kid, you know, there would be chicken pox parties. It's like, okay, one kid in the neighborhood got the pox. Good. Bring all the other kids over so that we can get rid of this, you know, we can create the herd immunity all at the same time. And, you know, now we have the overutilization, this is my personal opinion, the overutilization of vaccinations in an effort to create that same herd immunity. And if everybody's had that herd immunity done, and then there are some people who have chosen not to get vaccinated, I don't know why the vaccinated people are threatened by the non-vaccinated people, because it's the vaccinated people that should already have immunity.
So if I understand this correctly, when you are exposed, whether it's through a vaccination or through your chickenpox party, for instance, you're exposed to the pathogens, your body then develops its innate intelligence and recognizes it. You said it develops a cell that can recognize it, and so that it now knows how to prepare the defensive mechanism to fight off that particular pathogen?
Yeah, so the next time that you're exposed to it, it already has a memory of how to deal with it. It doesn't have to come up with a whole new solution. It already has a solution in its, quote, memory bank, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so those memory immune cells will circulate around at a much lower rate. Okay, it's like in the times of peace, you don't need a hugely active military. Why? Because it's peacetime. Mm-hmm. You don't need to ramp up the military until you're going to end up going to war. And it's like, you know, I appreciate the country of Costa Rica. They're the only country in the world that I'm aware of that doesn't have a military. And it's like, why? Because they don't fight with anybody. They're just happy being in their own country because their country is such a beautiful, wonderful country.
Hmm. So when your body develops a fever, that's actually a proper immune response. That's not a bad thing?
No, it's a proper immune response. Your body is raising the temperature in an effort to boil off and basically destroy whatever the pathogen is. And typically, as a rule of thumb, a low-grade fever below 101 degrees is typically viral in nature. And a high-grade fever above 101 degrees is typically a bacterial infection. The challenge that we run into is when you're dealing with a senior population whose normal basal body temperature, what's the normal temperature for a person? What should it be?
We consider 98.6 is the right temperature. Right?
Correct. But you go into any senior's home, and I would challenge any senior who's listening to this show today to go take your temperature to see what it is. And I'm going to guarantee that you're going to find it to be well below 98.6. It's going to be in the 97s or even below 97. Hmm. So when you're dealing with a guy who's, or a girl whose normal body temperature is 96, okay, and you get sick, and now the doctor or the nurse or the physician's assistant or whoever that's in the office that takes the temperature looks at the temperature and they say, well, you don't have a fever because it's only 98.5. Well, where did they start out at?
96.
Right, so to go up 2.5 degrees, okay, 2.5 degrees from 98.6, okay, puts you up just right on the cusp of bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. So it's like understanding where a person's normal is. So I would invite every senior out there, I would invite everybody listening out there, take your temperature. Take your temperature several times over the next several days. Take it first thing in the morning. Put the thermometer next to your bed. Take your temperature every morning when you wake up before you even get out of bed and just see what your temperature is.
If your temperature is, you
want to get a sense of what is your normal, because if your normal is at 97, then when you have a temperature of 98.9, you know that you have a fever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know that your body's trying to fight something. So if we allow everybody to assume that their temperature is 98.6 as normal, and that's, you know, it's not the average anymore, but most people don't understand that. When you get any kind of immune response, your temperature is going to increase in an effort to deal directly with whatever's stimulating the immune system in a negative fashion. Low-grade fever, again, is typically viral, and high-grade fever is typically bacterial. And last, just to reemphasize that point, you have to know where you're typically starting from. Mm-hmm. So when you feel normal, just see what your temperature is. Mm-hmm. And then keep that as an understanding that you have so that when things change, you can actually see how things have changed.
So as a normal immune response, let's say you catch a cold. So people cycle through a cold typically in a few days. Is that a normal immune response? Because I know, you know, I've known you for a long time and I've never seen you get sick. And it's not because you're not exposed to the same things that I'm exposed to.
Right.
So how is that? Is that the immune response, is to get the cold, or is the immune response to not even come down with the cold?
Well, it depends upon the level of functioning that you have. If you have a highly efficient system, you may, quote, come down with a cold, but if your body's efficient at dealing with the cold, you'll cycle through it maybe in a couple of hours, and you may not even know that you were, quote, coming down with a cold. But if you're putting a lot of things into the body, if you're putting a lot of completely refined and processed or the crap foods into a person's body, that interferes with their body's ability to function in a normal fashion, and the response is delayed. So let's say a group of 10 people get together for a picnic, and it's five couples. And so they decide they're going to play volleyball, and it's the guys against the girls, or it's these couples against these couples, what have you. And they play the whole day, and before they started playing, they put out the potato salad, and the sun was behind the trees, but then the sun comes up above the trees, and they are in a hearty game of volleyball, and it's very competitive, and then now the sun starts baking the potato salad, and when they're done, everybody's really hungry, and they like the potato salad because the woman that makes it makes awesome potato salad, so everybody has a big serving of the potato salad. So they're all going to get some level of food poisoning. So the question is who's the healthiest person? You get somebody that gets sick that night, you get two people the following morning, you get three people the following middle of the day, you get the rest of the people minus one getting it by the end of the second day, and then the morning of the third morning, okay, the last person gets sick. So we got one that got sick the evening of the first day and one that got sick 2 days later in the morning. And everybody else was somewhere in between. And so I asked the average listener, okay, who do you think the healthiest person is in that group of 10?
Well, I would think the person who had the immediate effect would be the person that was strongest.
Right, because their immune system recognized something that didn't belong quickly.
Right away.
And had the appropriate response. But 9 times out of 10, or even 99 times out of 100, when I've asked that question to the average person, they'll think the person who got sick last is probably the healthiest, because their rationale has always been, well, their body was able to withstand the effect of something as long as it could before it actually succumbed to it. And I can see how people would think that way.
Yeah, I can see that sense of it.
But realistically, it's like looking at this sheet of paper that's in front of you, what is this number right here?
It's a 4.
Right, it's a 4. And how do you recognize that? Well, because you know what a 4 looks like. But at the end of the day, the only reason why you can see the 4 on that sheet of paper is because the 4 is in what color?
It's black.
And what's the background?
On the white paper.
Right, so the black stands out on the white, and you're easily able to recognize it. Even if you don't know it's a 4, you can see that there's something there instantaneously because you see the contrast. Well, that's how your immune system should function. When something gets into your system that doesn't belong, and it takes a long time for your body to recognize something that shouldn't be there, that's a problem. You want your immune system to be spot on, so when something gets into the system that doesn't belong, it has an immediate immune response in an effort to wall it off, eat it up, and get it out before it starts to create a problem. It's like the bouncer system in a bar, okay? You know, the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. You ever see that movie?
I didn't see it, no.
Okay, fascinating movie where he's a bouncer that's hired to go into these various clubs all over the central part of the country, and he's basically there to teach the owner and the employees of the bar that they're there to let people have a good time, but they're not there to let things get out of hand to where the bar owner is spending lots of money repairing furniture and broken glass and people getting into fights and all of this kind of stuff. So Patrick Swayze's job is to go in there, and he tells all of his staff, okay, be firm, but be nice. You don't have to get into a fight with somebody, and the last thing you want to do is have a, but what you want to do is you want to bring it outside of the bar so that whatever happens outside, and you're not trashing the bar and creating more of an expense for the owner. Well, that's the same thing with the immune system of the body. You want to be able to recognize something, to wall it off and get it out before it has the opportunity to create damage.
So now, is every part of your body part of the immune system?
Realistically, yes, because the immune system can go affect some sort of immune response in every single part of your body. So the immune system is a mobile system. Mm-hmm. It's not confined to one area. Now, it's made up of a bunch of different glands, organs, et cetera, kind of thing. And so you got your thymus gland, which is in the middle part of your chest. You got your spleen, where you recycle your blood. I think we talked about that last month.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all these different immune system organs. We got the bone marrow that helps to make blood cells. So we've got all these different things that help to make up the immune system. We've got the microbiome that lines your whole digestive system, which is made up of nervous system and immune cells, et cetera. And, you know, there's more neurological tissue in your digestive system than there is between your ears, kind of thing. And that was interesting when you were doing research and you noticed that. And we've had discussions about that. And it's like, yeah, so this microbiome is part of that immune system. And so there's lots that goes into the health and functioning of the immune system, but it's not confined to a particular area or a particular organ or gland.
That's why if you get a bug bite, you get an immediate red mark. You know, it swells. It's your body basically having
right.
an immune
You're
response.
You're having an immune response at a cellular level that causes your body to produce a histamine response, which is what causes the reddening and maybe the inflammation associated with mm-hmm. whatever the bug bite was.
But that inflammation is actually the process of the immune system at work doing its job.
Doing its job.
It's
exactly.
not right. And yet, when we hear about inflammation, we hear that all the illnesses are preceded or precipitated by inflammation. So,
well, that inflammation is a byproduct of not having enough of the right ingredients and getting the inflamed response as a result of having a temper tantrum because you don't have the things that you need in order to function normally.
Mm-hmm.
So that immune response, that level of inflammation is typically an indication of a nutritional deficiency. And when you give the body the ingredients that it needs, then it doesn't have any reason to get inflamed. It also doesn't have any reason to get sick, and which is, you know, pretty much the boat that I try to live in and maintain for myself, so that when I'm dealing with sick people, I'm not worried about catching what they have because I know my immune system is going to take care of it. And the way that I do that is I don't eat refined sugar. I don't eat processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had dessert in almost 3 years. And it is what it is, because that's where I'm at, and that's the level of commitment that I have to myself in an effort to take my health to the next level, because I have very unfond memories of being sick when I was growing up as a kid
mm-hmm.
and not liking staying home because I was sick and missing out on the information and feeling like, you know what, the teacher probably gave me the one phrase that was going to put it all together and not having... So after I had the chicken pox in third grade, all the way through grad school, all the years of schooling that I've gone through, I've never missed a day of school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just about maintaining your health and maintaining your integrity and the integrity of your immune system. And, you know, it's kind of like the border wall conversation we have going on in the southern border between us and Mexico. And what's the right thing to do? The right thing to do is to put up a border that makes sure that things don't get into the system that are going to muck up the works. It's the immune system of the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, fascinating conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about the immune system.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, coming to you from 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or if you don't want to call me, please don't text me. But if you want to do that form of communication, you can send me an email to docrick@spineboy.com. That's D O C R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. Now, today, Mark and I are talking about the immune system and building your immune system, et cetera. And what sort of other questions do you want to cover, Mark?
Well, you know, whenever we do these shows, we talk about the relationship between the calendar year and what's going on with your body, because there are cycles, just like there are cycles in nature of the seasons, there are cycles that your body relates to in terms of the season. So why is it that this is the time of year that we speak about the immune system?
Well, the main recycling plant for your blood in an effort to filter out and strengthen your blood, et cetera, is your spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And the spleen is part of what is in the Chinese five element theory called the earth element. And the earth element is primarily the stomach, spleen, and the pancreas. And so this is the time of year. We've got the winter time, which is the water element of your kidney bladder. We've got springtime, which is your liver and gallbladder. We've got summertime, which is primarily your heart and your small intestine with your endocrine organs like your adrenals, your thyroid, and your reproductive system, which is summer. And then when we move towards the direction of fall, just before we get to fall, we have the earth element, which again is the stomach, the spleen, and the pancreas. And so the pancreas is the main recycling plant for the blood, for the immune cells, et cetera. And so that's one of the organs that's associated with the immune system. So we talk about it at this time because the thing that suppresses the immune system, which we talked about last week, which was the topic of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sugar affects the spleen and the pancreas and the strength and integrity of your immune system. So that's why we're talking about the immune system at this time of year.
So since it has to do with the spleen, what is the job of the spleen? That's one of those organs that oftentimes you hear about people who have had a splenectomy where they've had their spleen removed, which I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine why you would ever want to have an organ removed unless there was some terrible thing that happened to you. But it does seem to be a fairly common thing, and that in the medical profession, they don't regard it as that significant. But the spleen has to have a function in your body. So what does it do for you?
Well, the spleen plays multiple supporting roles in the body. It acts as a filter for the blood. It's part of the immune system, which we've just discussed. Old red blood cells are recycled in the spleen, and platelets and white blood cells are stored there. The spleen also helps to fight certain kinds of bacteria that cause pneumonia and meningitis. And so the spleen is a filter, and in the process of filtering the blood, it picks out the old tired blood cells and helps to recycle them, and it also stores cells for the immune system.
Mm-hmm. It seems that a fair number of the organs in your body are filtering. It seems to be one of the major functions that your body has to do is to filter things.
Yeah, we have three external filters,
mm-hmm.
the lungs, the large intestine, and the biggest filter in the body, which is the skin. Those are your three external filters. Those are part of the metal element, which we will get to come fall time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you got your three internal filters. You got your liver, which filters all the foods that come in through the intestines, and it's the main processing plant, and it's like Grand Central Station to where things go for inventory and mm-hmm. Balancing hormones, and mm-hmm. everybody's coming through and being sent to where they need to go, kind of just like Grand Central Station is. Then you got your kidneys, which filter all your liquid toxins and helps you to excrete and manufacture urine. And then you have to, of course, filter the blood. And the primary place that we're talking about right now happens to be the spleen. So you got three external, the lungs, large intestine, the skin, and three internal, the liver, the kidney, and the spleen.
And the internal filters are solid, so they're filtering the blood.
Yes.
As opposed to lungs, which are filtering the air, large intestine, which is...
Right, those are hollow organs,
mm-hmm.
minus the skin. Well, I guess, depending upon who you're talking to, they may be hollow. But yeah, the liver, the kidney, and the spleen, they are solid filters.
Right. So the blood is cycling through them, and as it cycles through them, it's filtering in that process.
Yes.
So you mentioned red blood cells and white blood cells. We need both types. Do they have different functions?
Oh, they do. The red blood cells carry around the food and the waste products to and from the tissues. So You pick up oxygen within the lungs. You pick up food within the intestines and the liver, and you bring it to the cells so that the cells can actually do their functioning, and you need oxygen in order for the metabolic process to actually function, to burn the fire, so to speak. But you also need the ingredients. So the red blood cells carry things to and from the tissues, and the white blood cells are there for the immune system and to have an immune response. And so the white blood cells, depending upon, you got monocytes, eosinophils, basophils, lymphocytes, and neutrophils. Your neutrophils are your acute responders. Those are the ones that are active during an acute some sort of invasion. So your neutrophils will go up at that point. The lymphocytes are your chronic responders. Those are the ones that come in after the initial wave of immune response has taken place. Your eosinophils are there for chemical type responses. Other pathogens like parasites come in, your eosinophils go up. And your monocytes and basophils are also part of that process. So you got your five different types of immune cells that are the white blood cells that are there to help fight off infection and maintain balance within the body from an immune perspective.
Now, I remember hearing in during the AIDS crisis that there are these things called T cells, and that you that those get very low in people that have HIV or AIDS.
Yes. So the T cells are the cells that are generated by your thymus. Which is why they're called T cells. Those are cells that are there to help respond to whatever pathogens or whatever infections that you have coming into the body. And so when we originally, when AIDS first came on the scene back in the 80s, and I remember I was working in a hospital as a tech aide in CAT scan, and I remember coming to work on a particular day, and they threw a gown with a mask and a headdress. Then they were like, you have to put this on. And, you know, I was a tech aide. I was developing films and transporting patients to and from the radiology department. And now I'm coming in and they're having me put booties on, a full bodysuit, and, you know, a mask and a head thing to cover my hair, et cetera. And we had to put goggles on and all this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, well, why are we doing that? Well, we have an AIDS patient coming in. And I remember my first experience in dealing with my very first AIDS patient. And it's since I felt so bad for this person, unbelievably so, because everybody in the room was dressed up like they were a space person. They had every part of their body completely covered. The only person who wasn't completely covered like that, besides the patient, was the nurse that was there with the patient. And the patient is sweating, and she's there with a cloth wiping the patient's and holding the patient's hand and all this. And she just had the hugest heart and the most compassion whatsoever, and was trying to basically support this person and treat the person with a high degree of integrity. But the rest of us, because we didn't understand what AIDS was back then,
right,
we didn't even understand how it was transmitted from one person to another. Okay. So we were told long before the patient came down that we had to basically isolate ourselves inside these like suits, etc. And I just felt bad because we're bringing the person into the MRI unit and or the CAT scan unit in an effort to do a CAT scan, and I just couldn't imagine what their perspective was what's wrong with me that everybody is dressed up the way that they're dressed up in order to deal with me. And I just can't imagine that
you know,
built a lot of
that
confidence within the person having the problem.
I would think not. Now, you mentioned that the spleen is in charge of recycling blood cells. What does it mean to recycle a blood cell?
Just basically, okay, when each cell has a lifespan, like your blood, a red blood cell typically lives for about 120 days. When it's reached its expiration date, so to speak, because it's carried things around and it's had a full life, okay? The body is a conservative organism. It's going to take the old cell and it's going to recycle it. So it's going to take the hemoglobin out and it's going to combine it with new blood cells to make new blood cells. So you're recycling the hemoglobin, you're recycling the iron, you're recycling some of the different components within it, and you need a recycling plant. So the spleen acts as that recycling plant, so it takes the part that we can't use anymore and it helps to excrete it through the blood system. And it takes the parts that we can use more and it sends it down to the rebuilding plant in order to rebuild new blood cells.
So do the red blood cells, do they remove things, substances that don't belong in your body? Is that part of their job?
Are they carriers? Yeah, to a degree. I mean, it carries oxygen to the cell, and it carries carbon dioxide, which is a waste product from the cell due to metabolism, carries that out to the lungs for excretion, and that goes on all the time. But primarily what the red blood cells do is, yes, they are a taxi cab. They run around the body bringing whoever the passenger is, wherever that passenger needs to go, whatever their destination is. And, you know, it's all coordinated through the liver primarily. And, you know, so you got plenty of taxi cabs outside the liver because those taxi cabs are like all the taxi cabs that used to line up outside of Grand Central Station. Mm-hmm. You get into Grand Central Station, you come out to the street, and there's just nothing but a sea of yellow there because it's like, okay, everybody's coming into Grand Central Station, needs to go somewhere. So that's why the taxi cabs would hang out there. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing in the body. Your red blood cells are those taxi cabs that carry passengers to and from wherever they need to go. And then your white blood cells are like your cops.
They're the fighters.
They're the patrollers. They're the ones who are making sure that the neighborhood's safe and, you know, no hoodlums are going on and no chaos is occurring as a result.
Now, what are some of the common things that might just show you that your spleen is out of balance?
Primarily, you're going to get tenderness and inflammation of that spleen. That just means that it's having difficulty keeping up with the recycling process. Typically, an enlarged spleen is involved in a condition known as infectious mononucleosis. And, you know, the spleen's involved with that pathological process that goes on. And so sometimes a person's spleen can get so diseased, or you can rupture a spleen because you got hit and injured right underneath your ribs on the left side, which is where the spleen sits, and they can remove a spleen, and a person can still live. The challenge is now they don't necessarily have an efficient recycling plant within the body to help maintain the integrity of the blood. So people who have had their spleens removed are going to need some specific support to maintain the integrity of the blood system and overall health of that individual.
Mm-hmm. Now, just turning a little bit to autoimmune diseases, and because we see a lot of these things. So first of all, what is an autoimmune disease?
Well, that's actually where the body has, the immune system itself has gone from focusing externally to focusing internally. And that has to do with when your body starts to get run down and the organs or glands, the protective cellophane that helps to isolate a particular organ or gland from the rest of the organs or glands, when that cellophane starts to weaken and fray, then you're going to get proteins from the organ or gland that leak into the bloodstream. And when you get a foreign protein in your blood, your immune system is going to attack it. Because you need amino acids in the blood, you don't need foreign proteins in the blood. So when you get a foreign protein that is coming from you, as opposed to coming from outside of you into you, so when your own body is leaking proteins out of the organs or glands and you get an immune response, now the immune system is attacking the body. That's autoimmune disease.
I see.
And we have lots of solutions in my office specifically for anybody that has autoimmune disease. And if you have autoimmune disease and you don't call me, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to just simply take one specific food supplement for your specific autoimmune disease to literally make your autoimmune disease go away.
Which would be a blessing for anybody who
has. It would be a blessing for anybody, and it just absolutely baffles me that I don't get more people calling me who have autoimmune disease, because I would just simply help them fix it, and fix it relatively quickly.
And, I mean, the challenge is that your solution is fairly easy, fairly, you know, simple to do, but it's outside what a lot of people consider the normal medical procedures.
Right, and so, again, getting back to, you know, you get people who get enlarged spleens, and how would you know that? Well, you'd have to be checked for it, because realistically, you want to make sure that you address it. I mean, that's the major recycling plant for your blood, and the blood is the lifeline to allowing you to be healthy. And so you want to make sure that that recycling plant is functioning as healthy as possible. And
one of the things you mentioned was the cellophane that encapsulates the cells. Is that the same as the fascia?
Encapsulates the organs.
Or the organs. Yeah. Is that the fascia?
It's not the same as the fascia. The fascia is more in the muscles, okay, mm-hmm. is the connective tissue between the muscle layers,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily so much what exists. I mean, they're similar. If you want to split hairs, you can say that they're the same, but they're not because they got completely different functions.
Mm-hmm.
That protective cellophane-type covering that is between each organ and encompasses every organ and gland within the body, that's just there to help to create demarcation between them because you got different functions, you got different types mm-hmm. of proteins going on, and you want to make sure that they're mm-hmm. not mingling too much because, again, that creates that autoimmune response. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about autoimmune disease and what you are able to do to help people with it. But before we do, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, best way to do that would be to call my cell phone, which is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to call me directly, you can email me. Please don't text my phone because it doesn't receive texts, but you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And today we've been talking about building a strong immune system, and we've talked a little bit about the spleen, etc. What else do you have, Mark?
Well, you one of the things you said was that there's another organ that's closely tied into the immune system, which is the pancreas. And the pancreas is in charge of your insulin production, is it not?
The pancreas is in charge of producing insulin, which helps you to manage your blood sugar. But the pancreas is actually under the direct control of the liver itself. Diabetes, for those of you out there who have diabetes, there's a high degree of likelihood that your endocrinologist is treating it wrong because they're treating it like a pancreas condition when diabetes is actually a liver condition. And the liver controls the functioning of the pancreas, and the pancreas responds to the orders that it's given to by the liver. And so when the liver gets overwhelmed with sugar, it sends a signal to the pancreas to secrete insulin to sop up all that sugar. The challenge is that a lot of people now are insulin resistant, which means that insulin doesn't put the sugar into the tissues the way that it's supposed to, so you end up having high circulating blood sugar levels, and that's the definition of diabetes. And so,
you mean the insulin is not effective?
Yeah, the insulin doesn't do the job that it's supposed to, and that's a condition called insulin resistance, which means that the cells themselves aren't responding to insulin the way that they should be responding to insulin. They're resistant to that insulin response.
The other thing is, can't the pancreas just be exhausted and not be able to produce the insulin? That's a different aspect.
Well, that's a different aspect, but yes, that's exactly what happens in diabetes is the fact that if the pancreas gets tired of producing insulin, or if it's not efficient, or if the beta cells within the pancreas that help to manufacture insulin are damaged or are dysfunctional or mm-hmm. not working the way that they're supposed to, and you're not able to produce enough insulin to keep up with the demands of the amount of sugar that we consume. And that's the problem. When you have that dysbiosis that we talk about all the time and you crave sugar, then your pancreas has to work harder because the liver gets overwhelmed with all of the sugar that's coming in through the intestines.
So with all these problems that we've talked about in terms of the immune system, what do you do to help bring it back into balance? Because it seems that if you have issues with the spleen not working and maybe becoming enlarged, if you have an autoimmune disease, which you said was a fairly easy thing to resolve for somebody, but I'm assuming that there are there are dozens or hundreds of autoimmune diseases now identified, so not everyone is going to be treated the same. How do you deal with this now when we're talking about the pancreas and diabetes?
Well, again, you need to understand where the actual problem is happening. Is it happening in the execution? Is it happening with poor execution? Or is it happening with the people that give the orders for the execution? So the liver is what gives the orders to the pancreas. If the liver's having problems and it doesn't communicate accurately or adequately with the pancreas, then the pancreas isn't going to do its job. It may become lazy. If the pancreas is always being told to work, 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 and the body is a organism that likes to repeat things, so whatever your blood sugar excretion was, your insulin level excretion was because of your blood sugar for breakfast, there's a high degree of likelihood that the next time that you put food in your mouth, your pancreas is going to secrete the same amount of insulin, whether it's getting a signal to do that or not. Why? Because it wants to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So the body does a lot of repetitious things, and one of the things that happens with the repetition is you keep creating the same response even if you've changed. That's why it takes 3 weeks or so to create a new habit within a body, because the body's so used to doing things the old way that you literally have to stop doing the old way and reinforce the new way in order for the body to change its habits or behavior, which is why people have difficulty losing weight, etc. So the pancreas is important with producing insulin that helps to either store glucose as fat or burn glucose for fuel. If your blood sugars get too high, that's called hyperglycemia. If your blood sugars are too low, that's hypoglycemia. Each one will create a particular response within the body that both of them can actually look similar.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing what a person's blood sugar level is doing helps you determine how to help solve either the hyper or the hypoglycemia. My thought is if you're not overstimulating yourself with sugar all the time, then you won't really have to worry about the hyper and the hypoglycemia. Why? Because you're just going to have normal glycemia because you're not putting a lot of sugar into the system all the time.
Well, I mean, sugar is certainly something that we talk about frequently. It's a big problem, and it's one of the leading causes of the immune system being in decline. But again, people have now developed whatever conditions, health concerns that they may have, and they would like to be able to get some kind of help for them. The help that you offer is without using drugs, without using any kind of medical intervention. So if somebody does have a health issue with their immune system or an autoimmune disease and they would like to get checked out by you and see what possible solutions that you may have for them, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, if you're dealing with any pancreas issues, any blood sugar level issues, any autoimmune disease issues, any spleen issues, pancreatitis, whether acute or chronic, the best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone directly, which is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. Whether you call me or whether you email me, please don't text me. Call me or email me or stop in for a free class or just simply stop into the office and say that you've heard me on the radio and you'd like for me to help you. It's always my pleasure to meet you. It's always my pleasure to help you understand what's going on. So many times people pop into my office and I'm willing to give them a little bit of time just to foster the connection and the communication and show them a little bit about what their issue is and help answer their pressing questions. I'm happy to do that because that's my purpose. That's my passion. By all means, please stop into the office. Again, we're at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in suite 404 of building 400. So when you come into the parking lot off of Canal Street, you're going to be looking at five buildings, two on the left, one in the middle, and two on the right. We are the second building on the left. And when you come in the front door, we are the first office on your right. And again, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding. And so if you have any problems with pancreatitis, if you have blood sugar issues, if you've had gallstones, alcohol abuse, any of the reasons for why one would get acute pancreatitis, if you're taking medications to manage your blood sugar, whatever the case is, if you have a health issue that you're not happy with and it relates to your spleen or your pancreas or your immune system, please give me a call because I'd like to help restore balance to your body and make things work the way that they're supposed to. So my understanding is that we're out of time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, 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 on top of that. I grabbed him by the stethoscope. I said, doctor, the...